Could we lift our hands and could we thank the Lord for what we felt? And could we thank Him in anticipation for what He will do? God, we worship You today. We magnify You, Jesus. We lift You higher and higher. We thank You, God, for what we have felt in this place. We thank You, God, for Your mercy that endureth forever. We thank You for Your goodness in the land of the living. We magnify You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. I love what I feel. Somebody just feel after the presence of the Lord for just a moment. Praise God. He's in this place. Where He is, anything can happen. Anything can happen that we can believe God for. Praise God. Praise God. Growing up in a pastor's home, I can concur with your pastor that I was not a fan as a young person of long-winded preachers. Every miracle that Jesus did, except for one, He did it in 30 minutes or less. And so I'm going to take a cue from Jesus today. Praise God. I love what I feel in the presence of the Lord. I give great honor to your pastor and to his wife for 23 years here in Lakeland. Could we give them a hand? The Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. We give honor to your pastor, to the first lady of this church, for their incredible work for God. Second Samuel chapter 19. Begin reading in verse number 10. 2 Samuel chapter 19. Do want to say I thoroughly enjoyed the ministry and the teaching of Pastor Jared McGuire. He did an incredible job today. And great churches are built on teaching the Word of God. 2 Samuel chapter 19. We will begin reading in verse number 10. 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 10. And Absalom, whom we anointed over us, is dead in battle. Now, therefore, why speak ye not a word of bringing the king back? And King David sent to Zadok and to Abiathar the priest, saying, speak unto the elders of Judah, saying, why are you the last to bring the king back to his house? Seeing the speech of all Israel has come to the king, even to his house, ye are my brethren, ye are my bones, my flesh. Wherefore then are ye the last to bring back the king? Verse 16, and Shimei the son of Gera a Benjamite, which was of Behurim, hasted, came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. Verse 18, and there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei the son of Gera fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan. Verse 24, and Mephibosheth the son of Saul came down to meet the king. Verse 31, and Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Rogalim and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Verse 37, the middle of the verse says, but behold, thy servant Kimham, let him go over with my lord the king to do what he shall seem good unto thee. Verse 40, and the king went on to Gilgal, and Kimham went on with him, and all the people of Judah conducted the king. Verse 43, and the men of Israel answered the men of Judah and said, we have 10 parts in the king, and we have also more right in David than ye. Why then do you despise us that our advice should not be first had in bringing back our king? The words of the men of Judah were fiercer than the words of the men of Israel. Chapter 20 and verse 1 says, and there happened to be there a man of Belial, whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, Benjamite. And he blew a trumpet and said, we have no part in David, neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel. So every man of Israel went up from after David and followed Sheba, the son of Bichri. Notice this. But the men of Judah clave unto their king from Jordan even to Jerusalem. That's what I would like to preach today on this subject, from Jordan to Jerusalem. From Jordan to Jerusalem. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Be careful on the way down. Pastor Jared stated earlier, and I will reiterate, King Saul was anointed out of a vial, a man-made vessel. David was anointed out of a ram's horn, a God-made vessel. Saul was man's choice, but David was God's choice. David received 3 anointings in his lifetime. At 10 to 13 years of age, he was anointed. Then at 30 years of age, and then ultimately at 37 years of age, David was anointed to be king over all of Israel and Judah. In the text that we read in your hearing today, King David is mourning and weeping over the loss of his beloved son, Absalom. 20 years or more had transpired between David's anointing and his coronation. It was a long time for David, from the oil to the gold, from the oil of anointing to the gold of a crown. 10 tribes of Israel welcomed David as king, but he never fully consummated his victory until the other 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, accepted him, and they spoke a word of bringing back the king. Judah arose to come and to meet the king to conduct him over Jordan. Judah built a ferry boat to carry over the king and his household. I'm thankful to know this afternoon that mercy can build a bridge, but praise can build a boat. Jordan is the boundary line between earth and heaven. It was here at the Jordan River that Naaman was healed of his leprosy by dipping 7 times in the Jordan. It was here that Elisha received that mantle, and he passed through with the mantle of Elijah. It was here that Israel crossed the Jordan, because the Jordan is the portal to the promises of God. Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan. The heavens were open, and you could see the angels of God ascending and descending. There is a means of transportation today, not only through the Jordan, but over the Jordan. There's transportation for your soul from one shore to the other shore. The king with his entire household, every son, every daughter, must be transported from the willow to the cedar. You see, there were 5 people that King David met after crossing Jordan. And I personally believe these are 5 symbolic characters that all of us will meet on our journey from Jordan to Jerusalem. Some of them are border bullies. Others of them are ministry opportunities. The first person that David met was a man named Shimei. And Shimei, his name means my fame. If you remember right, Shimei was the man who cursed David. He was the man who cast stones upon David and cast dust upon him. And he was cursing him. But David said, I'm not going to engage with this man. I'm just going to keep on fulfilling the purpose that God has for me. I found out in life, Pastor McGuire, there's always going to be haters. There's always going to be people that want to curse you and stone you. But you got to learn to shake the haters off today. I refuse to get in the trenches with people who want to fight and argue and who want to curse me and cast stones on me. I refuse to talk to them. I'm just going to serve God and fulfill my purpose. Come on, you don't have to try to fight against the things that are trying to destroy you. All you have to do is raise up the next generation, and they'll take care of the Shimeis in your life. The second person that David met was a man named Mephibosheth. His name means my shame. Church, there are people that walk through the doors with baggage. They have a history. They are laden with guilt and shame and sin. But David said, it really doesn't matter if you're a cripple, you're still welcome in the king's house. You take those crippled legs and slide them under the king's table, and nobody can tell you even have any issues. Church, we are called to minister to those who cannot help themselves. If you have issues, you're in the right place. If you came with baggage and problems, and just come on into the house of God, because you deserve your allotment of land. This is where you belong, in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Could somebody give God great praise? Come on, church, he's calling us. us to minister to those that are broken and hurting and abused. Those who've been dropped as a child, God is calling us to minister to those people. The third person that he met was an 80-year-old donor to his kingdom named Barzillai. He said, "Barzillai, come with me across Jordan." And he said, "I cannot go." And so David was so thankful and grateful, I'm sure, because he was the benefactor of all the blessings and all of the wealth and the things that Barzillai had done for him. But David was saying, in essence, "I cannot live in the past." And so he kissed Barzillai goodbye and said, "If you don't want to go, that's fine, but I'm going to cross Jordan." I found out there's some people in life, you just got to kiss them goodbye. I wish somebody here today would kiss your extracurricular activities goodbye. Kiss all of your X-rated movies goodbye. I wish somebody would kiss all of your exes in Texas goodbye and say, "I'm not going to live in yesterday. I'm not going to live in the past." Come on, church. We need to transition in this house and say, "I'm not going to die in my dilemma. I'm not going to die on the wrong side of Jordan, but I'm going where the King would have me to go." David said, "Barzillai, I want you to come." Barzillai said, "I can't come. But take my son Kimham with you." Kimham, his name means longing. Church, if we're going to transition from Jordan to Jerusalem, there has to be a longing in our spirit for more of God. I'm not satisfied with what God did last Sunday. I'm not satisfied with what God did in the last revival. I want more. I want everything that God has for me. David was mourning the loss of Absalom. But can I tell you that for everything you've lost in your transition, God has a better replacement for it. But somebody's got to get up and say, "I'm not going to die on the wrong side of Jordan. I'm not going to live in the past, but I'm going to embrace the future and the purpose that, come on, I see, and I prophesy a future. I know the plans that I have for thee, saith the Lord, to prosper thee." Come on, church, I see prosperity. I see miracles. I see signs and wonders. But somebody's got to get up and cross the Jordan. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Could somebody give a shout of praise unto the King, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, in whom is no shadow, neither variableness of turning. The goal of this crossing Jordan was to get to Jerusalem. In 2 Samuel 19 and 18, the word of the Lord says that they built this ferry boat. Judah built a ferry boat. Ferry boat is habara in the Hebrew, which means a crossing place. You see, I believe Judah can still build a ferry boat that brings the King home to Jerusalem today. Our praise literally creates a crossing place in the spirit. We can cross with our praise from darkness into light, from an old man to a new man, from death unto life, from fear to faith, from victim to victor, from defeated to delivered, from sorrow to joy, from negativism to optimism, from shame to forgiveness. We can walk in this building with a spirit of heaviness, but we don't have to leave carrying that spirit. We can come today and trade it in on a garment of praise. I don't know about you, but I want to leave here shouting and praising and magnifying God. It's not the will of God that you be addicted. It's not the will of God that you're bound. It's not the will of God that you're depressed and on prescription medication. It's the will of God that someone would be set free by the hand of God. Judah built the King a ferry boat. Praise builds a vehicle that brings the King home to Jerusalem. David never sat on the throne until Judah invited him and built a boat and brought him home. The king shows up when we praise him. Praise builds a channel. Praise is a medium. The king is crowned and he is enthroned in our praise. David said in 2 Samuel 19, 12, ye are my bones and my flesh. God literally inhabits the praises of his people. In verse 43, Israel argued with Judah about their rights to King David. I love what the Bible says. It says that the words of the men of Judah were fiercer than the words of the men of Israel. I don't care what that voice is telling you. It doesn't matter what that spirit is telling you. I wish somebody would open your mouth today and allow the voice of Judah, allow your praise to be louder than the voice of any spirit, of any attitude, of anything that's coming against you. Could I hear somebody lift your voice today and say, the devil's been talking to me, but listen to this, devil. The voice of my praise is going to be fiercer than the voice of the enemy. The Bible says that Judah, the praisers, they claim unto their king from Jordan all the way to Jerusalem. I love the way this service opened. People were singing and dancing and shouting and praising God. I love that. You're not just doing that for yourself. You're not just doing that to feel goosebumps and to feel good on Sunday afternoon. But there are unborn sons and daughters in this building. There are princes and princesses that have to be transported across the Jordan. The king's bloodline must be transitioned with a vehicle made by praise. Are there any praisers in the house who would say, I'm not going to do it for me and my family, but I'm going to praise him until every unborn son and daughter. That's it. Come on, the king's bloodline must be transitioned through praise to a palace of gleaming gold. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 2, 120 believers were gathered in an upper room, and as they began to praise God, they created a vehicle for the king and his household to cross into the spirit realm. Can I tell someone in this building that praise creates a channel? Praise is a conduit. It is a mechanism. It is an apparatus whereby we cross from shore to shore, from carnal to spiritual, from earth to heaven, from darkness to light, from flesh to spirit, from Jordan to Jerusalem. I believe we can cross the space-time continuum with our praise. There's only so many directions that time can travel. Praise God. We can move today from my fame to my shame. We can move from living in the past to apprehending the future that God has for us. But there's one more direction that time can travel, and it can go up. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to stay where I am. I want to go all the way up to Jerusalem, where the promise of the Father is going to be poured out in this house on somebody that will believe God. There's something about praising God. Praise is what produced Pentecost. Praise is a portal by which we access the presence of God. I wonder if all over this house we could lift our hands, and for just a moment, could we lift our voices and praise him and create this portal. God, I want you to come today. Fill the void. I want to cross over from where I am into another dimension, into another realm in the spirit. I refuse to die in my dilemma. I refuse to live in yesterday. I'm going all the way from Jordan, all the way to Jerusalem. Hallelujah.
You see, the problem is this. Hear me, someone, today. Hear me. The problem is this, that most people die somewhere, their spiritual journey, somewhere between the Jordan River and Jerusalem. Because between where the Jordan River is and Jerusalem, there is a wilderness. And most people die in the wilderness. Because in that wilderness, there's a point of conflict. That's where the West Bank is today, between the Jordan River and Jerusalem. And there's a point of conflict. And every church I go in, Pastor McGuire, there's conflict. Because there's sons of the flesh that say, this is our church. But there's sons of the Spirit that say, no, this is our church. We refuse to just come to church and go through the motions of religion. We're going to lift up the name of Jesus Christ until something begins to happen in our wilderness. I'm preaching to somebody, don't die on the wrong side of Jordan. Come on, you got to praise him until you can praise your way to forgiveness. You got to praise him till you find your ministry. You got to praise him until you leave the past behind and you embrace the future that God has for your life. Our president is the first sitting president to write out a prayer request and place it in the Wailing Wall. Because that Wailing Wall is in the West Bank. It's in that point of conflict. It's in that desert. I say when kings and presidents start praying and worshiping at the Wailing Wall, it's not going to be very long until the king comes. Even in the wilderness, those Jewish people are writing out their prayer requests and their praises, and they're putting them in that Wailing Wall. I don't want to die in the wilderness, but even in my wilderness, I want to learn how to praise God, because I refuse to die on the wrong side of Jordan. I want to go all the way with God. I'm preaching to somebody in the wilderness right now. You've been going through all kinds of issues and problems. Anybody can praise God with $1 million in the bank. But what about when they just repossessed your car? Or you went through a bankruptcy or a divorce? Can you still say that the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away? But I'm going to bless the name of the Lord. I choose to praise him on a Sunday afternoon. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I may be in a wilderness, devil, you can take everything else, but I've still got my praise. I've still got my worship. I'm still going to get my shout on. I love what Isaiah said in 35. He said, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say unto them that have a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be open, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. Here it is. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and an highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. This is it. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion. They're coming to Jerusalem with songs, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. I'm preaching to somebody in the wilderness. There's still a stream in the desert. If you'll open your mouth and let that river flow, I may be going through all kinds of... I'm still going to praise him. I'm still going to lift my voice with a shout. I may be living in a desert, but I've got a river springing up unto everlasting life. Hallelujah. I wish somebody would get on your feet and believe God for a miracle. You don't have to leave here defeated. You don't have to leave here depressed. You don't have to leave here bound and addicted. But I feel like Jesus is going to set somebody free in the house. Woo, hallelujah. Something is about to happen in the realm of the spirit. I was preaching. You can remain standing. That's fine. Musicians, if you want to come. I was preaching in Tulsa, Oklahoma. There was a man on this side of the building. They asked me to pray for him. He had a large mass, a tumor in his throat. I know they expected me to just lay hands on his head and pray that little prayer, and that was it. But I didn't pray like that. I prayed for him first. Then I took him by the hand, and I just started shouting. And he was looking at me like, dude, what's wrong with you? It didn't faze me. I just started shouting all across the front. He really didn't want to go with me, but he didn't have a choice. And so I just shouted all across the front, and I prayed for him. You know how it is when you have to try to sort of pull some people along with you. And he really didn't want to keep going, but I tried it again. I just shouted all the way across the front to the other side. 2 weeks later, Pastor McGuire, the pastor, texted me, and he said, I just want you to know that the cancer, the tumor in that man's throat is gone. He's totally healed by the blood of Jesus, by the stripes that were placed upon the back of God. How is somebody would give God great praise? You come too late to tell me that praise cannot build a vehicle that would. I was preaching in St. Paul's, North Carolina, and on a Wednesday night, pastor said, well, I don't really have any money to pay you to come and preach. And I told him, you know, this is not a nonprofit organization. I'm a prophet for profit. But I said, yeah, I'll come. I'll preach for nothing. Praise God. Some of us get paid to be good, and some of us are good for nothing. So I said, I'll just come preach for nothing. You don't have to pay me a thing. That was on Wednesday night. And the most least likely person in that building, God spoke to me and said, call her out. She had tattoos from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. She had been the largest drug dealer in that county. But I called her up, and I began to prophesy over her. I laid hands on her. She didn't have a penny to her name, but she just believed God. I said, God is getting ready to bless you financially. The least likely person, she was just shouting and praising God on a Wednesday night. By the next week, the pastor called me and he said, I don't know what you told that lady, but he said, today she received a check in the mail for $100,000. And he said, I just left the bank and she wrote a $50-something thousand check and paid the church off. Do you believe God is still a miracle-working God? Do you believe He's a God of provision, signs, wonders, and miracles? I believe somebody's about to cross over from your dimension of carnality and flesh. Come on, there's something about praise in Him. That we are transmutated, that we are translated, that we are changed. I just got back from Cuba, and in one service we baptized 23 first-time people in the name of Jesus Christ. But one of the most beautiful things was a little 12-year-old girl. She was in a wheelchair just praising God. We laid hands on her in the name of Jesus. The last time I saw her, Pastor McGuire, she was walking down the road with a parent in this hand and a parent in this hand, just healed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Is there anybody in the building who wants to make the journey all the way from Jordan to Jerusalem? I wish you could lift your voice and give a shout. Come on, these altars are open. If you need a miracle, you can receive a miracle. If you need a breakthrough, you can receive a breakthrough. If you need healing, God can give you a miracle. If you need a financial breakthrough, God can give it to you. If you need the Holy Ghost, come on, if you've never received the Holy Ghost, I invite you to come right now. Let's make a little room right here in the front. If you've never received the Holy Spirit and you would like to, I want you to come and just allow me to lay hands on you. We're going to pray that God, everyone else, just fill the front. But if you need the Holy Ghost, just come and stand right here in the center. Church, help me praise Him for just a moment. There's a transition that's about to take place. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Come on, that's it. Just begin to worship Him and lift Him up. Hallelujah. Praise God. Something is about. Here's one. Praise God. Something is about to happen in this building today. Someone is going to cross over. Here's another. There's two. Come on, that's it. Praise God. If you've never received the Holy Ghost, this is what you need to do. I want you to lift your hands and ask God to forgive you of all of your sins, everything you've done wrong, and commit to Him. I'm going to serve God for the rest of my life. And then if you'll begin to praise Him in your native tongue, all of a sudden you're going to begin to praise God in a language you never went to school to learn. If you'll praise Him in English, it's easy to go from praising God in English to praising Him in other tongues. Church, I want us to lift our hands and believe that some chains are going to fall off, that there are people in this building who are going to be transferred from darkness into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of our dear Son. All over this building, could we lift our voice? Let your praise build a vehicle. Come on, that's it. Lay hands on somebody and pray. There's deliverance in the house. There's healing in the house. There's a miracle right now. That's it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's it. Just praise Him with a shout. Just lift your voice and magnify Him. I'm going all the way from Jordan to Jerusalem.